This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to Goodfellas Minute 117.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care.
Hello and welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes the Martin Scorsese picture Goodfellas, one helicopter in the sky, minute at a time. I'm Josh Flanagan. I'm here with Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello.
And Ron Richards.
Hello.
This minute starts with helicopters up there chasing us, following us, and it ends with lots of jump cuts.
It ends with delicious, delicious meat.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah,
that's pretty much all my notes are meat based. So before we get too far into this, I'm just going to ask, looking at him right now, did the Valium help at all?
It didn't help with his driving, that's for sure.
It doesn't seem to have done anything.
Yeah, well,
I don't think he knew how much he was on.
Well, I think he's taking a lot of cocaine today. I mean, there's.
You think?
So he probably hasn't since he left the house 2 hours ago. So I don't know. Again, I've never used cocaine, so I don't know what the length of it is. But
short. It's short.
Yeah. So maybe. I would like to note that the minute starts at the top of the minute. He's wheeling his brother out of the hospital, and what is Henry doing in the voiceover?
Explaining what he's got to do.
He's recapping the day, getting the plan for the day. And where he literally uses, the plan was, I'm going to drop my brother off of the house and go pick up Karen. So that's where we're at currently in the plan. He will recap the plan again later in the minute. We're going to get two recaps today. So I'm very excited. I love the recaps. So I have a question, though. So he's in the car with his brother,
yes,
right? And he's pointing out the helicopter's following him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does his brother know what he does for a living?
I don't know, but he seems very amused by it all.
Yeah.
He's got a big, dumb grin on his face, and I don't know if he finds Henry funny or if that's bad acting.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's acting.
Well, wait, there's two different things that just happened. Bad acting or acting? He's a kid there.
Yeah, he is a kid. He's young.
Oh, we're going to talk about Kevin Corrigan tomorrow. I love Kevin Corrigan.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he's great.
I can't decide... if he just thinks Henry's really funny when he's on cocaine, which he could be because he's very manic.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That is a good question. Does he know? He must know. He must know. Everyone knows. He's also in the house for the whole drug discussion to later this week.
Well, yeah, but that's later. Yeah. But so as of right now, so.
Well, if he didn't know until today, he'd be pretty surprised.
Well, that leads to my other question, is that the theme that began a couple of minutes ago when we talked last week and is going to continue through this week is the fact that Henry is everyone thinks Henry's paranoid because he thinks his helicopter is following him.
Uh-huh.
Now, he's been a professional criminal for what now? 30 years? 25 years? Does it occur to Henry that perhaps it is some sort of police activity and maybe he should be taking it easy?
he doesn't know how.
Maybe he doesn't know how. But like he never says that helicopter has been following me. I think it's the feds or I think it's the cops.
He did think that. That's why he's acting the way he's acting.
But then he can But then he continues with his day with the drugs and all that sort of stuff.
But he's still. But he's. That's why he's. That's why tomorrow he hides the guns, and that's why he hides. I mean, that's why he does all.
We'll talk about that tomorrow. I'm just curious if he's connecting the helicopter to police.
Yes, in the book he says he figures it's the feds, because only the feds have money to for a helicopter.
Yeah.
He knows it's police.
He's trying to deal with it in the best way he can, but he doesn't know how. Right. I don't think he knows how to lay low.
But also, as we've discussed, these guys are always at the edge of being broke. He's got to sell the guns, and he's got to sell the drugs because he needs.
He's screwed. Right. If he doesn't do the stuff he's got to do, he's screwed anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
He knows it's the feds.
Yeah. All right. So he's in the car with his brother going from New York Hospital in Manhattan to Rockville Center, which I would like to point out is roughly about 30 miles. And on a Sunday at 8 a.m., I mean, on average, no traffic, about 45 minutes in the car we're looking at with his brother. So.
I wonder if they have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
What? if he could. Like, you would think that would almost be relaxing, unless he never relaxed the whole time.
He was looking out the windshield the whole time for the
– Well, and also that's 45 minutes going the speed limit. So they might have made it in about 20 the way Henry drove.
Right. There's cocaine driving and there's regular driving.
Right, yeah, exactly. I do like the touch. So the shot in this minute, the shot of the camera on the hood looking in through the windshield at Henry driving and his brother in the front seat. I like the pack of cigarettes on the dashboard. That is very – my dad used to do that. Like, that is very accurate.
Like a lot of dads used to do that.
Yeah. My dad actually used to – the New York State inspection sticker – used to be a color square around a square of white, and the white is what had the information. And my dad used to smoke Salem cigarettes, and Salem's, much like in this shot, he's smoking Winston's, and Winston's are a red package with a white band with the Winston logo. Salem's were a green package with a white band that said Salem. And one year, I think it was like 1985 or 86, the inspection sticker was a band of green around a white box. And my dad never got his car inspected. He just put a pack of cigarettes where the inspection sticker was and never got pulled over.
All right.
I was wondering where that was going, like the whole 3 minutes it took you to tell it.
I just thought it was very clever. I just thought it was good. He's a smart man. So
he's a criminal.
Okay, so
now they're home and they're making food, and I feel like this entire scenario, Ron, has got to be a fantasy.
Well, I like how everybody's involved at 11:30 in the morning making dinner.
Well, they got to get they got to get the sauce ready. It takes all day.
Well, yeah, but no, but the thing is that the girls and Michael are making the salad. That's the shot we get, is that they're cutting the vegetables.
Salad's not really a good make early thing either.
Right? Exactly.
Now, when they say dinner, though, do they really mean dinner, or do they mean like a 2 p.m. thing?
No, they ate it like 8 o'clock that night, Yeah,
this is dinner.
So,
Wow.
And is this like a Sunday? It's a Sunday. We know that, so it's a Sunday dinner.
Yeah. Right, yeah, it's Sunday dinner, but 11:30 is
– But, you really got to give Henry credit sort of at his own confidence, like his misguided confidence, that in the midst of this day, that he's like, we're going to make a very ornate meal.
Well, at the end of the minute, he then starts to explain the plan again.
More specifically, the dinner plan.
Yeah, no, the dinner plan, as well as the rest of the plan of the day, that he was going to get the sauce going and the meat going and all stuff like that, and then go and run the more errands with Karen now. And so the shots of the meat, by the way, Connor, I'll give you credit. The last 30 seconds of this minute is basically porn.
Well, because I see the shot of Leota in the undershirt, and he's fixing the meatballs, and I think – this is Ron's greatest like fantasy. It's just in a kitchen making a sauce.
I will say that those cutlets are cut very nice.
They're beautiful.
See?
They're very nice.
Yeah, they're very nice cutlets. They're very
Here's the thing. I like it. There's a bunch of things I picked up on here. First of all, he's braising beef. Braising takes a long time.
Yep.
Like, that's a commitment kind of thing. There's a line. It's sort of Henry says a bit of dialogue is a little buried under an incredibly loud music mix, which is, I'm going to make them all. I'm going to make all this meat.
Which my note for that was that I've been in that kitchen before where I'm just going to make it all. Look, it's
and also, like, the kitchen mess that's going on there really stressed me out. like the counter with all the stuff on it. Yeah. Mikey, not good with a knife.
No, no.
He's doing the thing where he uses the tip of the knife far away. Like,
and also, again, one of the girls is carving their initials in the tomatoes, which is not good.
Mm. So, see, I think that might be bad acting. Like, that's a guy who doesn't know how to cook.
Well, that's a kid who doesn't know how to cook.
Yeah. Well, at
his
this point, he's not really
a sauce. He must know something.
Yeah.
You gotta just stir.
And he's cut celery. I mean, also, by the way, that's a job just to keep somebody busy.
Sure.
Like, because basically, he picked Michael up, and now it's 11:30 in the morning, and he's over for dinner. So it's like, here, Michael, you and the girls make the salad. Like, that's what you give the kids to do to keep them busy, so they think
but
they're helping.
He's like not quite a kid. Plus, he's in a wheelchair, so it's. Yeah.
I would also like to note that as Henry is making the meatballs, next to the meat, there's a glass of red wine. And then the camera spins around, and we see Lois, the babysitter, prepping the green beans, and she eats one. And then Karen takes a big swig of her red wine. It is 11:30 in the morning on Sunday.
Also, so much ash in this food.
Yeah, I mean, it's his cigarette dangling over the meat as he's prepping it. I was just like,
To be honest with you, I don't think that's a cigarette. I don't think that's a cigarette. I was looking at that. I think it's a straw. Oh, wait, no, it is a cigarette. I'm sorry. It's not lit. But it's not lit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hers is.
Regardless.
Hers definitely is, yeah. Yeah. That house reeks of smoke. Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing. It's 1980 on Long Island. Every house reeked of smoke.
I know.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it okay.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But
ZD with the meat gravy.
So yeah, let's talk about meat gravy then.
Meat gravy.
Yeah.
So meat gravy, the term meat gravy, why don't you explain to non-Italians what that means, Ron?
Tomato sauce.
Just the tomato sauce.
Yep. So well, no, it's a tomato sauce, but with meat in it. Right. You know, like yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the meat part would make sense. Right.
So great way to want to diagram this. Gravy means tomato sauce, but meat still means meat.
So the term meat gravy is thought to come from when Italians were assimilating in America, and they were calling their ragu gravy because that's what all the non-Italians in America were calling the stuff they put on food, the sauce they put on food.
Right.
So it's thought that that's where that term came from.
And to note, that is not a term that my family embraced. I was raised.
Yeah, it's a very controversial term.
Yeah, it's very controversial.
I never heard it before The Sopranos.
Oh, no. I heard it in the 90s. I heard some people would call it that. But we always called it was the sauce. It's just the sauce. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sauce, ragu, meat gravy, all the same thing.
Never ragu. Here's the problem with ragu. Is that, in the 80s and 90s, there was a brand called ragu. And anybody who is it still around? Well, anybody who knows anything knows that it's total shit.
It was the worst. Like early on when I was like, I don't think some food is good. I was like, you know what? Ragu sauce is bad.
Yeah, ragu is bad.
Bad stuff.
Yeah. So we never called it ragu. It was always just sauce. It's just the sauce. Now the thing is that the sauce, it's got to be a meat based sauce. I mean, like it's that heavy.
Well, we get back to the meat word and name.
Yeah.
So. Which means meat.
Yeah, meat means meat.
Meat means meat. Okay,
good, but he's also making fried cutlets as an appetizer.
As an app. Oh, right. My note is this is so unhealthy.
I wrote so many calories.
It's glorious.
I also wrote so hungry next to it.
Yeah.
I would want to eat all of it, but it's so unhealthy.
Because the thing is, when you have cutlets cut that nicely, you got to make them. You got to bread them and make them. Like, yeah, it's great. There's nothing wrong.
As an appetizer.
That's a meal there. Make it for lunch. It's not
I'm
even.
Just gonna, I'm just
yet.
Gonna make all. The, I'm gonna make all this meat. I'm just gonna make it all.
It's gonna make it all.
Make all this meat.
I would like to highlight and call out the production design and the set decoration.
Yep.
In the kitchen, the kids' artwork taped to the cabinets, little notes and things like that. Very. I mean, this is
cocaine.
The cocaine. This is a lived-in Long Island kitchen. Like they this looks very ripped from suburbia.
Karen's going to need that cocaine to get through the dishes later.
Well, she's not going to do the dishes. The shot of Karen drinking the wine, though, like that just gets me every time.
The disdainful look on her face?
Yeah.
This is the week where it's really revealed how far she's fallen.
Yeah.
She's pretty far.
Yeah, she's strung out, too.
Yeah, well, we find out. At this point, we don't know that, but we're going to find out a little
bit. She looks it, though. Like, she's not right.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, so now, but hang on now. I want to do a little math here because you got Henry and Karen, right? And then you got Ruth and Judy. And then you got Michael and Lois. So this is a six-person meal, okay? Yep. And I'm looking at the meatballs, and the meatballs that he's made, he's got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 meatballs. That's about right. You know, the beef is going to go in the sauce.
Not going to get any leftovers from that, though.
No. This is again,
if they've been eating veal cutlets, yeah, they might not make it through two.
Oh God, I just really want veal cutlets right now. Yeah, I feel like this is, and he's going to make the ziti with the meat gravy. Yeah, this is going to be a nice Sunday dinner. I'll be right over, Henry.
Don't forget isn't there pork butt?
Yes, the pork butt and the shanks and the shanks. Yeah, well, those all go in the sauce.
Yeah,
and
basically,
you're just dumping a lot of pork. We talked about this when they're in prison. You want the beef, you want the pork, you want the sausage. All in the sauce. It's the flavor. Right. Yeah, exactly. So,
how many onions, though?
I was just going to say, how many onions do you think Henry put in that sauce?
Two small onions.
Two small onions?
He learned.
Don't put in too many onions, though.
It's good. You made a very good sauce. No. I haven't called out Thelma Schumacher in a while.
Okay.
And what she's doing at the end of this minute is great. The suspicious look jump cuts,
this isn't edited. This is all one shot.
Yeah, but there's a couple where I got to look at it again. I'll scroll through it.
No, I mean, like, what you got is you got the shot of Henry in the A shirt, in the undershirt, making the meatballs, which, by the way, his form, I'll give Ray Liotta credit, his meatball making, you know, the bounce in between the two hands, very, very good.
That vowel at the end of his name isn't made up.
But then it's a sweeping shot that goes to Karen and the drinking the wine. That's all one shot. I mean, I don't disagree. Thelma Schumacher is great, but yeah, that's all Marty and the DP. And you know who that is, Josh? That's McConkey.
McConkey. I'd almost forgotten about him.
Yeah,
don't forget about McConkey.
This whole shot from the cut of the car speeding by to Michael chopping the celery, and then the camera goes up to Henry with the meatballs, right? And then it swings around the countertop to Lois and then to Karen and the wine. That's all one shot. That's all McConkey.
No one puts McConkey in a corner.
No one puts McConkey in the corner. And like, and the zoom, because the camera pulls back and then zooms into Karen, and then it cuts to the shot of the close-up of the cutlets. And then at this point, then Henry comes back in the voiceover to recap the plan.
We have to know.
What if we lost
the thread 25 seconds ago?
The plan was to get dinner started early so that then he and Karen and then the minute cuts. So,
yeah.
So we're going to have to find out tomorrow what happens with the rest of this.
In the book, it's one long sentence basically where he describes what he's cooking. But he says in consecutive sentences, I'm making the ragu tomato sauce and then the ziti with meat gravy. Is he showing off there by calling it two different things?
I believe the exact sentence is, I had to start braising the beef, pork butt, and veal shanks for the ragu tomato sauce. It's Michael's favorite. I was making ziti with meat gravy, and I'm planning to roast some peppers over the flames, and I was putting on some string beans with olive oil and garlic, and I had some beautiful milk white veal cutlets cut right that I was going to fry up before dinner as an appetizer.
That might
be my favorite paragraph of the entire book, by the way.
I could see that. I want to point out the last 4 or 5 seconds of this are several jump cuts. They cut to the counter. He's making the meatballs. He looks up and to the left. They cut again. He looks up and to the left.
Yep.
Suspicious look outside. That's what I was talking about.
That's the Thelma. That's a good shot. McConkey and Schumacher. It's a great team.
Oh, you can't miss them.
I feel like he's neglecting the meatballs by being so preoccupied with the helicopter.
Yeah. The double.
I think that the veal cutlets are his downfall.
Yeah, possibly. He's doing too much. Yeah. The double cut of the head nod is a very, very good note. I would also like to note that in that close up of the head to look at the door on the cabinet, you can see one of the things taped to the cabinet in addition to the kids' artwork is a cutting from the newspaper of How to Reach Your Members of Congress. Which makes me, I'm very curious why the Hill household is contacting members of Congress.
I love it because Karen was like, had to call the congressman about like the garbage collection or something like that. And that's what she decided to do. Not Paul Vario.
Right. Yeah.
Or it's really old from when he was in prison.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Because she was contacting everybody to get him out.
Yeah. But this is from, but this house was after because they got out of prison and they moved.
Yes. This is post prison. That's a good call. Yeah.
Look at that wallpaper.
I was just about to say that. Can we look at the wallpaper?
What is that?
It looks like it's some sort of metallic gold and like what's the turquoise blue print?
I thought we were gonna have one of those gold blue dress things because I was like, that shit's blue. What are you talking about?
No, turquoise. Yeah. So it's not good. It's not good. So anyway,
I am so hungry.
I want to cook so badly right now.
I have
where's that cookbook? Where's Captain Scorsese's cookbook?
Before we recorded, I had penne with sausage and bread.
Oh, I hate you. So,
but did you have veal cutlets?
No.
Cut just right?
I can't eat that much food. do we have anything else for this minute?
Yeah, I want to die. I'm so hungry.
Oh, God.
Fuck count was one in the car.
And recap count is two. So.
All right. Up my fuck count.
No, I'm just saying we recapped the plan for the day several times this week.
I like that Henry's got an apron on tucked in his pants.
And also, he took his shirt off to cook in the undershirt because he doesn't want to get sauce or meat stuff on that shirt, which is, you know, it's good. So good job, Henry.
So take the cigarette out of your mouth and just do it right.
Yeah,
he's not worried about the food. He's worried about his clothes.
Also, he puts the veal cutlets down right in the corner of the cabinet.
Very dangerous spot.
Very precarious.
But if one of those kids knock it off, those kids are going to catch hell. He's not going to take responsibility.
No, but if he knocks it off as he's manically running around the kitchen, it's all over.
Because the thing is that the next step with those cutlets is that he's got to dredge them in egg and then dredge them in flour and then into the breadcrumbs. And you can't do
that.
You're
about to say panko, but he wasn't using panko.
No, not panko. What are you talking about?
Panko's great.
No, panko's great, but not for fucking veal parmesan cutlets.
I bet it would be delicious.
Nope. You shut your mouth. As they pan across the counter, there is a dozen eggs sitting on the counter waiting for the dredging. So there you go. So.
We have to stop.
Okay, so that's going to be it for minute 117. Listen tomorrow for minute 118. Until then, you can talk about the things that you want to eat on Twitter, GoodfellasMin, or Instagram or Facebook at GoodfellasMinute, and you can find all of our episodes at GoodfellasMinute.com. I know what the screenshot is probably going to be. To support the show, you can go to Patreon.com/GFM, where you can pledge to be a patron of this program, or you can go to GoodfellasMinute.com/support. We will find a link to shop via Amazon. If you have any questions, email us at contact@GoodfellasMinute.com. And that is going to be all for this harrowing minute. We've got more harrowing minutes tomorrow.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up to you.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.